Welcome to Innovation in Your Ears. This series follows the founders and businesses on the Level Up Accelerator program. I'm Charlie.
I'm Olu, and today you're going to hear from Anna at Animated Technologies. You're going to hear all about their journey, their business, and what's next.
I'm the Managing Director of Animated Technologies.
All right, well, what is Animated Tech? Tell us a bit more about it.
So Animated Technologies is a creative digital agency. Started out in 2017 doing just animations to start with, technical animations for companies. But in the last 18 months, we've expanded those services into VR and AR. So a lot of the same file formats that you can use for the animations, you can move them over to AR and VR as well, so it all ties in quite nicely. So yeah, that's us.
Yeah, what kind of, obviously you're based in North Wales, but yeah, you're working with clients all over the, yeah, all the UK, beyond. What sort of clients and work have you done?
We've worked with public bodies, particularly with the AR apps that we're doing, a lot of trail apps at the moment, but also with VR. We're working with companies to create sort of mini digital twins for them, as well as the VR language learning applications that we're developing. It's quite broad, really. We can work with the public sector, which we have done, but we kind of focus towards companies that have got a product or a technical element to their business, okay, so that we can illustrate it creatively through 3D animations or 2D animations.
Right. Do you see that there's a more of a need there for animation to explain a more complex topic?
Yeah, I think when we first started Animated Technologies, we sort of identified that engineering companies, STEM-based companies or technical companies might be great at what they do, the technical side, but visualising that and telling everybody else what they do is not their strong point.
Sure, yeah.
So that's when we can come in. I think we've all got a passion for technology and for the technical side of things, but we use like the creative brains that we've got and, you know, thinking outside the box so that we can really sort of bring that to a wider audience that are going to understand it. So.
Yes, it's really about communicating more clearly and yeah, using animation and VR, I guess, as technology to support that.
Yeah, exactly.
And what sort of VR products have you got then? And what use cases are there for that?
So we've developed a project for Gwynedd Council through their Welsh Immersion Programme. And it is, so the Welsh Immersion Programme is like a 10-week intensive course that helps children between the ages of 6 and 12 or 14, I think, learn Welsh and sort of get integrated and using Welsh. So currently they've been using a lot of PowerPoints, a lot of sort of really old videos, sort of help them with their materials to help the kids. But I think they identified that the kids just need
a bit more modern.
They need something a bit more exciting and a bit more engaging and a bit more interactive. And VR has got to the point where it's actually more commercial now than it was a few years ago, definitely for, you know, the everyday user. So we've taken their concept of this digital village, of this village, and we put it into VR. So the kids can go into the space, they can go into a supermarket, they can go into a farm or a garage, and they can learn the names for different things. They can also interact with sort of digital avatars, so like sort of digital people in there. That's all scripted so that they can sort of practice their conversation with them, and do little games in there as well, which is going to make it really fun for them. And the feedback that we've had from the kids so far is really, really good. And it's really nice to hear. I actually heard some feedback from another tenant that had gone to an event completely outside of MSpark or work time, like through his own community. And it was a family that had come over from the Netherlands, and their
and they were using it, were they?
And the kid who was, I think, 8, had started using the VR headset. So he knew about it. Ed knew about it, and he's tried it himself.
Yeah.
So he knew what the kid was talking about. But yeah, he thought it was absolutely amazing.
That's awesome. And I've had a go in it. It's fantastic. I think maybe the biggest value add is the ability to build confidence.
Mm.
For whoever's using it, you're building confidence because you actually get to practice speaking in a kind of a safe environment that's gamified. It's a bit of fun. It's relaxed.
Yeah.
Rather than sort of more formal environments, and then boom, you're out in the real world, and you've got to suddenly use it on the spot.
Yeah, exactly.
You can go in and you can buy a fish in the fish counter or interact with someone.
Yeah, exactly. So it's getting the kids, and you'd think that, oh, you know, but with technology, with the VR and the controllers, because that was one of the things we thought, because it's for kids age 6. Like, I've got a 6-year-old and he's only got little thumbs, so I thought, oh, is he going to be able to use the controller, you know, the technology? They pick it up.
They know what they're doing.
They know exactly what they're doing. And I think the statistics on retaining that information is you retain about 75% with VR, whereas opposed to, like, online, it's about 20%. The information that goes in. So if you think about the brain of a child anyway, it's just like a sponge. And then add VR. So
yeah.
So it's really, really good.
And how do you avoid overwhelm with that, I guess, if there's, you know, if it's that fun, it's that engaging, but there's that much stuff, you know, you talk about the brain being a bit of a sponge as a child. Where's the balance there? How do you avoid that becoming overwhelming or too much?
I think that's on the user themselves. If they, because it's in a school setting currently, they're sort of...
So it's managed a little bit. Yeah.
They're managed, you know, if you think about a lesson, they're probably in it for maybe 30 minutes tops. And I think when you're enjoying something, it goes really quickly anyway. Mm. And I think those sort of smaller bite-sized chunks that they can practice and they can experience the environment are going to be good for what they need anyway to sort of retain the information.
I'm intrigued. Where did animated technology come from? Were you always involved in VR and AI and I guess the tech that came before that?
Yeah.
Or was it something quite new? Were you already working in that industry?
In the VR stuff, VR and AR.
Well, I guess animated tech as a whole. Where did it start?
Where did it start? It started in a shed. Like all good sheds, but quite a big shed. It's like 5 metres by 6 metres.
That's a good size shed.
It is a good size shed.
With heating?
It's got a radiator.
Okay, yeah.
It's a bit...
And a coat rack.
Yeah, it's like too cold in the winter and
too hot in the summer.
Yeah, hot in the summer. But it was a space. And believe it or not, at the bottom of the garden as well, like all good sheds. So it started out with myself and my... husband at the time in the shed, because we started out as like a design studio, because my background's in graphic design, his background is in animation. So it started out us doing graphic design, websites, animations for companies, and then it got to a point about a year and a half in, and you know, it's tough for any startup. And it sort of got to a point and I was like, we're not really achieving what we need to achieve. We're like two creatives working in the same shed. Okay, we weren't working as a company, sort of taking it forward. And I didn't know how to run a business or anything like that. I knew how to do a project. I knew how to do the work side of things, but the business side of things.
All the other stuff, yeah.
Yeah, all the other really important stuff to actually get a successful company. I didn't know how to do that. So we, at that time, we sought some advice from a business coach who really sort of identified what areas of what we did would have the most growth, and that was the animation side of things, which was really positive, but it was definitely a conversation of, right, we're not going to be doing much graphic design, which obviously I come from a creative background, and
you were out of a job.
I was out of a job. So my role then was to really kind of push Animate Technologies, as it was sort of rebranded then, and sort of just like new business development, the business side of things, and
the team, the team's grown around that then over the last couple of years as well.
Yeah, definitely. So I would say when we employed Claire, our creative director, about 15 months ago, that's when we started to incorporate the VR and AR, because that's her specific skill set and knowledge and and
so really just strategic hire at that point.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she actually came to us and it fitted really well. She was like, will you give me a job? I was like, I suppose so. And it fitted really well because we had this other project that we had started during lockdown called, which is now Hire, which is its own company. And that is really what Tom, my other half, he has gone off and done that and is growing that company independently now. So my focus was purely on animated technologies, but I don't have any experience with 3D. Like, I know 3D, but I'm not technical 3D. Yeah. I'm not an animator.
You're not the right person to be doing it day to day.
Exactly. Yeah. So we needed to bring that skill set in and to kind of grow the company and sort of develop it into something more. So it just by chance happened that Claire approached us, and it was a good fit, and I got on really well with her. So she came on board, and since then it's really sort of grown and exploded with the projects that we've taken on.
Yeah. I'm really intrigued about that, especially people listening. It's always it's always really helpful for people early in that journey to hear about this. How did you go about making those first hires? And there's always a challenge of cash flow, funding that. Yeah. Did you have investments? Did you have more work than you could possibly manage, and it was quite an easy decision? Was there risks taken, loans, self-funded? What was the process for you? And
how did we do it?
How nerve-wracking was it?
It's extremely nerve-wracking. I probably didn't do it in the right way. but then you're learning and you're figuring out what can be done and how you manage it. And that's the whole juggle of life, isn't it, and the juggle of business. So we haven't had any investment, which is good. So first hires, I would say our first hire was probably Meg, our production and design manager now. So she came on board with us. Oh Christ, I don't know when she came, a while ago. I'll say a few years ago. It seems like she's been with us forever. And it was, all the hires that we've made have been quite strategic. They've been like, right, we need to solve this problem. How are we going to do that? Bring somebody on board. A lot of the early hires that we've done have been kind of graduate level people, because realistically, with the level of company, you know, the size of the company and our turnover and cash flow, we couldn't, you know, afford to bring in CTOs or CEOs or anything like that. Yeah. How did we fund that? We had the work. I think cash flow, now I've got a grasp of the cash flow, luckily, after 5 years. But did I have a grasp of the cash flow then? Probably not. And it is quite scary.
Seat of the pants stuff, was it?
I'm going to have a few conversations this month.
Yeah, well, you've lived to tell the tale, and you're smiling about it, which is great.
Yeah. And I think, how have we funded it? We've looked for funding, we've looked for grants, things like that. But also a lot of credit cards in the beginning, unfortunately. That is the reality of life. But we've got to a position now when we're more established. Cash flow is solid. I do a 12-month cash flow now. None of this. How are we going to afford next month's wages and things like that? But yeah, that's that's that.
And what does the future hold for the team? Are you expanding? Is it pretty settled and it's staying like that?
No, we are going to be expanding. So with the product that we're developing for the Gwynedd Council, the VR language learning, that has scope to for more production later on this year. And they're hoping to trial it in three other counties as well.
Brilliant.
Which has been approved now. So that's great.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And if that trial goes well, which it will, I can't see it not going well, but you know, you never know, do you? Then hopefully it'll be across Wales.
Which would be amazing for, you know, for the company and the team, but also amazing for the kids.
Yeah.
To have access to that kind of, you know, we didn't have that when we were younger. It's just, you know, it's incredible.
Yeah, exactly.
So obviously I know a little bit more about the business, some of the listeners will. I know there's a new product being launched.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to introduce it? Tell us a bit about it, what the plans are?
Yeah. Our new product that we're developing is called Pentra VR, and it is a bit of a spin-off from the work we've been working with Gwynedd Council, but we sort of identified that that product has to be used with a teacher. So we've teamed up with another company at MSpark called Pi Technologies.
They've rebranded Pi Technologies, I think.
There you go, Pi Technologies. So they've got the database of languages and the understanding on the best way to learn a language.
Right, okay.
And we're incorporating that into our digital village with other sort of sections and games. And so it really becomes a standalone product. And then introducing the languages that they've got in their database will expand the languages that you learn.
You can scale it up quite quickly then.
Yeah, so you're not just learning Welsh or English, learning Spanish, French, German, Gaelic. We could put Latin in there if you wanted to learn Latin. So I think for the first stage of the project, we'll sort of cover the easy win languages that we can cover, so the sort of European languages. And then it's about expanding and becoming its, more than likely, its own company and an entity eventually.
And so who will be using this? What's the use case for Pentra VR?
So it's designed for kids, but really it can be used by anybody learning. So if you are somebody that can use a VR headset, you can use it, and you can use it to learn words, learn the role play side of things, gain the confidence that you need if you're traveling to a new country, or if you are moving to a new country and you want to learn the language before you get there. It's for anybody.
So it's available to anyone, but you're targeting schools, academies, other areas,
yeah,
where, you know, maybe even like libraries, things like that, where there's somebody,
yeah,
who will, I guess, champion the product and help others.
Yeah,
groups of kids in particular use it.
I think the user case that we've got with Wales and it being used in Wales is just, it makes sense to cover those bases first because we've got the...
That's your expertise, right?
Yeah. We've got the expertise. We've got the, the authority, the examples of it being used and the feedback from that project that, yeah, we'll target the schools, private schools, academies, worldwide, and yeah, go from there really. Yeah,
and when does it launch? I heard there's a trip out to the States for
launch. We're doing a very soft launch in March, that is not far to go, but we are developing a demo of what the product will be for March, because you said we're going to San Francisco to the Games Design Conference, so it'll really be a great platform for us to get it out there and get it out into an American market and get their feedback.
And when is it going to be ready for clients, for schools, academies, universities to actually
purchase it
and start using it?
We're looking for the end of Q3, Q4 this year, so 2023.
Yeah. So are you talking to people now? Is that process started? So if someone's interested, they can reach out and chat to you and start to learn about it now?
We're waiting until after GDC, actually, until we start that process. But all the other...
That's 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah,
By the time this is out, it'll be
there. Yeah, we're ready now. We're ready now. Come and speak to us now. Yeah, so really it's just about sort of gaining people's contact details, and we can supply them with information and maybe do some demos with them. And just build the whole strategy around it, which is interesting because I know the work that I've done with you, it's a different mindset because we've always been project-based, but now this is a product, and it's like, oh, it's a completely...
very new journey.
New journey, which is all new and sparkly.
What excites you and scares you the most about that as a CEO, as a founder?
It excites me because it's challenging and it's a whole new area to work in. It's nothing that we've ever done before. What scares me about it, doing it. I think
are you going to have to learn new skill sets, do you think? Is your personal role going to change within the company or the way you approach things?
I think my role in the company will stay the same, but it'll just mean me adding to the skill sets that I've got and learning these extra new avenues and procedures and processes and things. And then eventually we'll bring on people that can manage the different areas as it grows, like the business development side of things, the operation side of things, account management with people. So it's going to grow into its own business, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, it's really exciting. What tips would you give somebody starting their entrepreneurial journey or about to start that journey? What, based on your learnings and experience, what tips would you give? And in particular, is there anything specific for female founders?
I think for myself, coming from a creative background and deciding to sort of develop a company, I would say the greatest understanding is that you're not going to do as much of what you love, if that makes sense. I know that sounds a bit snitty, but it's not right, because I do love what I do now. But I always had it in my mind that I was going to be a graphic designer.
You were on the tools, weren't you?
Yeah, yeah, on the tools, working in the company. And there was definitely a readjustment of, okay, I've got to put that to one side and learn all these new skill sets above the company to kind of manage it and work the strategy. So I would say expect that and definitely get comfortable with Google Sheets or Excel for your cash flow. But I really love that now. I really love just getting lost in my cash flow.
You see the impact it has. It allows you to create a stable environment for the team. It allows you to reinvest it. You're working on the business, and that's more of your role. And there is a natural transition there from in the business to over time becoming more and more on the business. But you still could be prepared to get your hands dirty, I guess.
Yeah, I can still look at something, but it's so nice to somebody to bring me something and say, what do you think of this? And I can be like, yeah, it's great. Yeah. Let's do it. Rather than, oh, it's not quite right. Or, we still have those instances, but it's really nice to have a team to delegate things to. Yeah. And I would say that's the best thing.
What would you say makes your team tick? How have you built a really good culture within the team in the office?
I think that I'm quite real with them. I do include them in a lot of the processes and the discussions.
Very, very transparent.
Yeah. Okay. Probably a bit too transparent sometimes. But we're all, obviously, all the sort of, shall I say, top positions, not top positions, but sort of key positions in the company are women. So it's me, Claire and Meg.
Okay, yeah.
So that's quite unusual, I think, for most businesses. Yeah. Definitely a technical business. I think...
Do you think that's a strength? Is there something in that? Should people follow that? Is that a model that people should be looking at?
I think it is a strength because I think we've got a lot more empathy for each other. I don't know if the words empathy or sympathy, I always get confused with those words, but empathy, like if somebody's having a bad day, I can look at them and think, right, are you all right? Do you need a bit of time? Do you want to go home? Blah, blah, blah. And we get it. And I know that I'm not one of these bosses that's like, I'm not sure if you can go home, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, look, if you need to take half a day off, take half a day off. They're still going to work. It's like, do you know what I mean? They're still going to catch up with the work, but it just gives them that sort of freedom. And I never wanted a company where you had to feel like you couldn't ask something or you couldn't take a bit of time off if you needed a bit of time, or, you know.
A human approach to it.
Yeah, because that's how I work as well. So if I need to go out of the office for half a day, then that's what I can do.
You're probably not productive if you stay in the office anyway. If whatever, you know, if you need to get out, then there's normally a reason you're not going to do good work in the office.
I know. Sometimes my brain just isn't working and I have to recognise that. And that's another key thing. I have to recognise, right, my brain isn't ready for this tender today. Right, so what can I do that is still productive? It might be chatting to people and catching up with them. And then just have a good sleep.
That's interesting. Yeah, so having you must plan your week and your month out, but having that flexibility and I guess really good awareness as well to understand when, you're not in the right headspace or something's not quite working.
Yeah.
To just be able to readjust and stay calm and relaxed about it, move things around a little bit.
Yeah, and I recognise that in the team as well. Yeah. And because we are all women as well, we all know when it's our time of the month. And I've got hot water bottles, there's hot chocolate in the office, and it's like, look, if you need to just have the day off, have the day off.
And it works
for them, because there's nothing worse than being in work and feeling absolutely rubbish and, not having a boss that can understand that as well.
And, well, not just a boss, but the rest of the team, I think, that there's a culture of, you know, whether you're male, female, whatever it is, there's a culture of things happen.
Yeah.
And it's that's normal.
Yeah.
Whatever's going on in your life.
Yeah.
Things happen and we work around that. And I hopefully that will manifest itself in that you'll get better hires, you'll attract really good talent, and you'll have, you know, long serving employees that want to stay with the company and grow with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely get 100% from the team. And all the men in the company are definitely more aware of all the women in the company and our struggles.
Yeah, doing your bit for society as well, then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's like, do you want a cup of tea? Yeah, I'll have a cup of tea.
Sounds like a lovely place to work.
Well, sometimes Jack brings me a cup of tea and I look at it and I'm like, Jack, that's the wrong colour. And he's like, okay, I'll take it back and put some more milk in. So I'm definitely, I don't...
You've just named and shamed one of your...
Jack makes a really good cup of tea now. When Claire first started, she made the worst coffee. Sorry, Claire. But she makes really nice coffee now.
I like my coffees. Maybe I'll ask her to make me one and we'll test it.
She does a good job now. Yeah. But she likes instant. Blech. No thanks.
What have you learned through growing the business? What have you, and working with clients, etc., what have you learned that you just didn't expect?
Confidence, I think.
Okay.
Confidence in my own abilities, because I think I didn't have confidence in those abilities at the beginning. And I think that has only become apparent through running Animated Technologies kind of solely myself, understanding, I can do this. I can run the company. I can employ people. I can pay the mortgage. I can, do you know what I mean? And having that mindset of you can do it, you just need to put your mind to it and get the support structure that you need. And I think in the beginning as well, I think you have this sort of, maybe you think, oh, I don't need a business coach or I don't need support. I can do it.
You're trying to be strong and do it, but prove yourself.
I can Google everything. It'll be fine. But now I'm just like, the more the merrier. If I need support in an area, I'll look for it. If I can get it for free, great. If I need to purchase it, I'll purchase it. And it's understanding that that's all an investment in the company as well.
Yeah, that's a really good mindset to have, and it's good to hear that your confidence is growing and kind of you're going from strength to strength, which bodes really well, especially with a new product release.
Yeah.
So, Anna, a couple of quick-fire questions then before we wrap up.
Go on.
If money and time was no issue, what other business would you set up tomorrow?
If money and time was no issue, what would I set up? Oh, my God. I have absolutely no idea. I've always wanted to be. It sounds a bit weird, but I've always wanted to learn aromatherapy, like massages.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know if that would be any good. Maybe I just like the spa experience.
Maybe you could add that to the office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, like a little aromatherapy bench?
Yeah. Massage once a month.
Yeah. We did have one of those.
By the CEO.
Yes. We'll put that in the company details. We did have one of those Shakti mat things. Meg brought it in.
That one, the
prickly
spiky
one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had that in there for a while. I don't know where it is now.
Okay, so maybe a little side hustle.
I think I just like the smell of them. I don't know whether I'd make that a business, actually. What would I do? I don't know. I can't imagine working for anybody now. I'd figure something out. Yeah. I don't know what I'd do.
Reinvest it in animated tech?
Would you put
everything into animated tech?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that's me now. There's no other...
You're in it for the long haul.
But I really like what the technical and the creative side of what we're doing. And I think my mind likes the technology as well. And it's a new industry. And it's just cool. I think...
And it's still in its infancy, really. There's going to be, you know, more developments all the time, which is incredible.
Yeah.
What one book, movie, or podcast would you recommend to somebody else starting out their entrepreneurial journey?
Book.
And why?
I don't know about book. I'm not a big book reader, unless it's a romance book. I don't know if that would help with this podcast. But but podcasts, I love listening to Diary of a CEO.
Okay, yeah.
I haven't listened to him a while, actually, because he went very... When he first started out, he had lots of business people on there and people
it's
that
shifted,
I really...
It's shifted, isn't it?
It has shifted into more sort of self-help. And, yeah, you can see that shift. But some of the earlier podcasts that he had were really, really good and really helpful, I think. And what was the other question?
Well,
Podcast or movie,
maybe.
I
guess a coach, because you invested in coach early on, and that really helps.
That really helped. Mentors are really good as well. I know we've used Business Wales for mentors before. And I think what's important as well is understanding that a mentor, not like a puppy, a mentor is not for life. It's just for the stage that you're at when you need them. So you can get rid of them at Christmas and get a new mentor.
Yeah, and I think you've got to find the right fit as well and not rush into anything.
Yeah.
Also, not don't be afraid of getting moving at some point and committing.
Yeah.
Because it does build, it takes a bit of time to build that relationship for them to really understand you and the business.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think if you invest and you accept, you don't look for miracles, you know, in session one or two, it's about building that relationship. You invest in it over maybe 3-6 months and then... Yeah, you can transition that through different phases.
Exactly.
Because you'll find specialists which are better at different times.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
What's the one question that you wish I'd asked you?
That sounds really boring that I don't have a question for that. Because I've just come into this as an open book, open-minded. I had, like the way I do, I've not prepared anything for this. I think you asked me the question, what are you expecting? I said, I don't know. You have to find it in my head and I shall bring it out.
There you are. We've done the job then.
Yeah.
Finally then, so obviously you're launching, soft launch at the Games Development Conference in San Francisco.
Yeah.
In March. If someone's interested in finding out more about you, your journey, and speaking to you about anything that we've talked about, mm-hmm. or a business is interested in animation, VR, Pentra VR,
yeah.
anything like that, how can people reach out and get in touch?
Just email me. That's the best way to do it. Just email me, Anna at animatedtechnologies.co.uk, or the email address that goes out to the rest of the team, which is just hello@animatedtechnologies.co.uk. That's the best way to reach me. Or yeah, just look on our website for our phone number and give us a ring. Awesome. Really, it just needs a conversation.
Brilliant. Well, best of luck with the launch in March.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, look forward to picking up with you and hearing how that goes.
Yes, definitely. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Remember to follow us on all our social media and the businesses featured in this episode.